cowboy's hat.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. If we have time permitting, 251-343-0106. That's the text line, and I'll try to wrap those up as fast as I can at the conclusion of today's program. Joining us now on the line, he is our returning champion. We do it about this time every week. State Senator Chris Elliott joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. It's a beautiful day in South Alabama, still and hot, but it's pretty out there.
It's well, here we go. I mean, the next 2 months are just insufferably hot and humid, but that's the price we pay for living where we do. I guess let's talk about this. There's some things going on in Baldwin County that are kind of interesting. I know you had a meeting with the elected officials. Anything out of that that recent meeting?
Yeah, we try to have a quarterly meeting with just any and all elected officials in the county, and whether that's school board, you know, probate judge, county commission, city leaders, you know, city school boards, whoever, and just kind of check on them post-session, pre-session, what's going on in the middle, you know, what grants they've applied for, et cetera. And so we run through those things on a regular basis, and you know, things are going well. You know, everybody, especially on the municipal level, is really interested in what's going on with your elections coming up here in August. You're starting to see, you know, some opposition that I frankly did not expect in some of these city council races and mayor's races in certain areas pop up. And so there's some attention being paid to that, of course, as well it should be. And then, you know, we've got some movement, you know, maybe depending on who runs for Senate in the congressional races as well. And so people are paying attention and posturing for that type of stuff as well. It's just an interesting time politically in the county.
Well, and I would say I think the mayor's race is the sage relatively benign. You know, what are the big mayoral races? And I was talking to a mutual friend of ours the other day about that. And maybe, you know, somebody said Gulf Shores. And I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, what do you see there?
Well, I mean, there's a lot going on in Gulf Shores, both on the city council side of things and on the mayor's side of things. I know Mayor Kraft had his kickoff kind of last night, and you know, very, very well attended. Lots of folks there, and then there's some challengers there, some folks that are really, really new to the county and to the city. And so you have that in Baldwin County, right? You have all these new people that come in, and they may not. If you're a long-standing elected official, you've got 4,000 or 5,000 people that live in your city that weren't there the last time you had opposition. So you gotta keep up your conversations with your constituency. You gotta keep up your conversations with those folks that are interested in politics. And I think our mayors, you know, by and large, do a really good job with that. You know, I certainly think Mayor Kraft does in Gulf Shores. But we'll have to see as the qualifications close here in the not too distant future. You'll start kind of getting a lay of the land and what's, you know, who's up and what's going on. But, you know, some of these mayors, especially in Baldwin County, have been here for such a long time. I mean, you talk about the beach in particular. Mayor Kennan and Mayor Kraft have been here since before the Beachy oil spill, you know. I mean, they've been here through hurricanes and you know, all kinds of crises that they've handled. They've just been here for a very long time. Mayor Sullivan and Fairhope, you know, hasn't been mayor but for one term, but good gracious, she worked for the city for, you know, decades before that. She knows it inside and out. And of course she was, you know, grew up here and raised here. And so, same thing with, you know, Foley. It's just, these folks have been here a long time. They know the county well, and, they just need to make sure that they introduce themselves to the new people that live in the county and stay up and active on what's going on with the new folks.
Yeah. You know, like I said, they know how to do the politics here. And I dabbled in it a little bit, watching it and moderating some debates last cycle. And it's not the people who vote in these municipal elections here have been here a while. It's not the transient sort of west of, at least on the Eastern Shore, west of 98, yeah, and thing that really participate. It's the townies that have been here around a while, and they kind of dictate the terms of these municipal elections.
That's definitely true on the Eastern Shore. When you get to the south end of the county, though, you see a lot more retirees, right? And so you see some folks that aren't from here that are politically active but may have just moved here in the last 2-5 years, you know, however that, whatever that looks like. And so they bring different opinions, some of which, refreshingly, are very conservative. You know, I call them political refugees. Sometimes they're from California or some liberal Midwestern state. And so they're typically very conservative, but they're active as well. And that's a little different from what you see on the Eastern Shore. And that's the really cool thing about Baldwin County in general, is that our cities and our areas are very different, right? What's in Robertsdale and Summerdale is very different from what's in Fairhope and then what's in Orange Beach. And so there's just a huge difference between the different parts of the counties and the different municipalities and the mayors that represent them.
On up to ballot, we have Senate and we have governor, and I think the Senate race is really still to be determined, but I, Senator, if Barry Moore runs for Congress, we're going to have a once again, and it just didn't used to happen quite with this frequency, an open congressional seat.
Yeah, this is almost unheard of. And, you know, if Congressman Moore decides to, you know, throw his hat in the ring and run for U.S. Senate, and all indications are that, at least from what I'm hearing, is that he's going to do it, you know, I would expect to see, you know, former Congressman Jerry Carl back in that race, you know, quickly, you know, just been out of office here for a little over a year, if that. And you know, I think you'd see him diving right back in with a good network and off and going. It's just a matter of, you know, who else gets in it. Does anybody else get in it? But those relationships that Congressman Carl has, you know, built over his time in public service, both in the county commission and then in Congress, I think would you know, serve him well. They're not dried up. They're not old relationships. They're still all there. And he certainly still knows his way around D.C., and those folks still remember him as well. So I think, you know, it would be expected that he gets in the race, and probably gets in the race early if Congressman Moore decides to run for Senate.
Yeah, and it would, I mean, almost be, he would almost inherit a sort of a pseudo incumbency, I would think, if he runs.
Well, you're right. And there's some, you know, there's some pros and cons to that, right? As an incumbent myself, there's some good things about that and some bad things, you know. You got a record you got to run on, and you know, that follows you. And that can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing, but you certainly can talk knowledgeably about the job and what it entails, because you've held it before, right? You know what you're doing. You don't have to learn where the bathrooms are. You know, voters sometimes want that fresh face, that new person, you know, that's wide eyed and excited, and that can be good, but it can also be terribly unrealistic at times as well. That, you know, experience matters, and it can be a good thing. I think the voters realize that as well. But, you know, I definitely would expect, you know, Jerry Carl, Congressman Carl, to be an early front runner in that race if Barry runs for the United States Senate, which, again, I think he's likely to do, and I think he'd stand a good chance at.
Governor's race and Tuberville landing a couple of like endorsements, pretty prominent names in the state with Ainsworth and Katie Britt. But what's sort of the reaction among your colleagues? I mean, this is sort of the reality now. You're going to have a new governor, and it looks like it's going to be Tommy Tuberville. And he's got time, but has there been any efforts to sort of restart talking to you guys in the legislature, or do you expect that to come?
There's been some early efforts to reach out, and I expect more of that, and would certainly suggest that Coach Tuberville's you know, team do that and engage the legislature. I think that's one area that Governor Ivey just doesn't do a good job with. And I think that if you had a better team approach, and again, I would expect that from a coach, right? A better team approach. Coach Tuberville has a great chance to be a really successful governor. And then I think my colleagues and certainly me are excited about new cabinet level officials, right? I mean, some of these folks have been here since Bentley's first term. They've been here a really, really long time. And they're not, by and large, necessarily interested in what the legislature thinks or the opinions of the public. They've just been in this job for 15, 16 years and or longer. And you know, it's time for some turnover there. And I think we'll see significant turnover as Governor Tuberville comes into office and starts looking at, you know, the lay of the land and who on his team or that he wants to, you know, to lead some of these state agencies, which really are extension of the governor's office, right? Whether it's ALDOT or the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, or it's, you know, you've got a new ADEM director, et cetera. You know, those folks really can impact how the state runs, how businesses run, and how we live our lives. So it's important to have good people in those spots and folks that are really on the governor's team. And that's where I think, you know, Governor Ainsworth making his endorsement is so crucial. You know, I think that's good for Coach Tuberville to have Governor Ainsworth on his team. You know, Will is smart and adept and knows a lot about Montgomery and how it works. And I think he can be a real asset to Coach Tuberville.
Here's a hard one. And I asked April Marie, and what are we going to remember Governor Ivey for, say, 10, 15 years down the road? You and I are still doing this segment, you know, we talk about the old days. What's going to be her legacy?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I think, Jeff, when it's all said and done, we're going to look back on, you know, lots of spending and some fairly moderate to even left-leaning policies that kind of got pushed for the benefit of rural Alabama. You know, we're going to be looking at a lot of redistribution of wealth from certain areas to help rural Alabama. And listen, it's not always bad to help our rural counterparts. Heck, half of Baldwin County is very rural. But I think that you're going to see, you know, policies that increased education spending, you know, really changed education policy, expanded government, you know, road building in areas that, you know, may or may not be justified, you know, tax increases and things of that nature. It's going to be interesting to see how that story writes itself.
Well, and I was asked this question on a panel on Saturday in Birmingham last week. And my first thing is like, well, she inherited the Bentley situation. Now, look, we don't have governors to go 10 years straight like she will have as she goes to the end of her term. But that and the other thing, and I know gas tax will be up there, but she's going to be the COVID governor, right? Like, we're going to remember this time in our history as the COVID governor. And I, you know, I'm not – she was reluctant to let go of some of those restrictions.
Well, she was, and I think she likes the authority. And what a – you know – look, everybody was scared at that time and nobody knew what we were dealing with. I mean, it's been a long time since we've dealt with a plague or a pandemic, you know. And so I can, you know, there's a little bit of grace that can go that I can give her on some of that stuff. But at the end of the day, as it became clearer that this was going to have to run its course, and we should have gotten back to our principles really, really quickly and said, hold on just a second, we can't do this. We don't have the authority to do this. This isn't government's, you know, job or responsibility. And some of the, you know, some of the stuff, we'll just say, that was, you know, the edicts were certainly questionable constitutionally. I mean, I remember them closing the beaches. And in Alabama, you own the land to the mean high water mark. You know, I mean, it's not government's to close. You know, we're gonna limit how many people can be in this restaurant or whatever. I mean, you saw restaurants fail, businesses fail, and you saw families put in really, really hard times because of some of the actions that our government, our state government, took. And so I think it's a wasted opportunity to show some real conservative principle backbone on how to stick to, you know, what is the essence of freedom and instead, you know, get scared and run towards big brother government to protect you from this invisible thing that had everybody scared.
Well, I mean, and like you said, she gets some grace, but, you know, we looked at the states that bordered us, similar scenarios, similar populations, Florida, Alabama, I mean, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi were much faster letting go of that, you know, and she was last. And I think to me, that's why it sort of sticks out to me. It's not that Alabama was was blue state. But here's the thing, Senator. Like later on, she admitted, like, yeah, I should have done that better.
Well, and that's where you get a little bit disconnected, I think, having been in office that long and just being in that Montgomery bubble for that long, you lose a little bit of touch with the regular folks who are struggling. I mean, but my grace in those instances is for the first couple of weeks, if you will, right, when we were in stop the spread mode. Well, when it became pretty clear that the spread wasn't stopping, okay, and this was going to have to, you know, run its course, this wasn't going to be some 10-day pain. This was going to be a lot longer than that. We should have done what our counterparts did in other states and started opening back up and getting folks back to work, get back to business. And, oh, by the way, back to school. And so we're going to see the hangover from that for really a generation, I think. And that's tough. You know, I give Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth a lot of credit there too. He was the one, if you remember, pushing that how to reopen, how to get back open. You know, he had a group that worked on that I served on as well to try to find ways to safely get back open and get back to business soon. And so that was a good principled approach of, okay, look, this isn't going away. Let's figure out how to, you know, get the economy back going, get schools back going. And so I think she should have done that. And I think, like you said, she regrets not having done that.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, she publicly said as much. Senator, we got to leave it there, but we will do this again next week.
Thanks for having me on. Enjoy this beautiful weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.